Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining the Wise Women Media Radio Show tonight. I have a special co-host tonight, which is Gwen Berry. and she's joining me. It's been a while. Gwen, can you remember when the last time was you were on with me?
Oh,
I think it might have been.
Well, they pulled the nails down out of the cross.
Gwen is really an amazing person with many hats, but tell us a little bit about Here Be Monsters and how it started, and give us a little heads up on the Commons Project Network, because a lot of people might not know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, thank you for having me on tonight, Anita. Appreciate it. Here Be Monsters started because, the term itself, Here Be Monsters, is actually a nautical term. Well, a cartographer's term. When they were drawing maps of the New World and they did not know what lie in certain areas of the ocean, they would write Here Be Monsters. So that's where the term comes from, the unknown. And I started it because I was really pissed off about BP and the oil spill in the Gulf, and I was calling the White House every week, a couple of times a week, and bemoaning to them, which was doing no good. And I saw Blog Talk Radio, and I thought, well, what the heck, you know? We'll get on there and we'll give updates and we'll get people on to talk about what really is happening. And that's really the birthplace of Here Be Monsters.
And then the Commons Project, that happened a little bit later, didn't it?
Yes. It's been a couple of years now that we've been working on that. And it's a group of just like-minded individuals who are doing independent little indie radio shows and blogs, and it's sponsored by Here Be Monsters, Pinko the Bear, and, of course, Roundtree 7, that's the number 7.com blog and group. It's all about bringing up awareness in the same light of all the other little beautiful independent radio shows that are going on and blogs and projects, and it all revolves around a lot of activism, and a lot of us have been involved in Occupy and like yourself and other activist groups and environmentally committed groups, and we've been able to bring a lot of voices to the airwaves to talk about their projects. Like Sharif Whiteland is one of my favorite people to have on because she's always pushing forward to do something more to bring some justice to the environment. And there's a good friend out in Texas who's fighting the XL pipeline with her ranch having it eminent domain, Crawford. She's been with us a long time. We have guests that return, and we get, you know, like Lee Camp, and trying to get Dennis Traynor to come on and talk with us once or twice. He keeps promising, but he's a busy fellow. You know, just reaching out in any direction and anyone we can find to bring to the airwaves that has something to tell us that gives us a better idea of just like what you're doing, of what's going on out there, because it's unreliable to depend on the mainstream media. Also, on Monday evenings and on Saturdays, we do something metaphysical and spiritual for you. So that's my gig. So.
Well, I did want to give people just a few announcements where you can find all of this on the web. Here Be Monsters you can find at Blog Talk Radio, and there's shows on there throughout the week. And the Commons Project Network is all together on Facebook, and we post on there pretty regularly.
It's also a website where we post.
How can people
find
it on the web?
At thecommonsprojectnetwork.com.
Okay, thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. And you can find Wise Women Media at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. And on there you can find links to everything, the social networks, the archived shows. Actually, we're coming up on Wise Women Media will be coming up on the 3-year anniversary of the show at the end of December.
Wow.
So I can't believe
wow.
it's been years. But it
wow. has it been that long? Wow.
3 years, because I remember the first show we did with Wise Women Media, and I remember, you know, you had been coaching me, and then I went ahead and decided, well, I'm going to do a show on my own. And I was at Barnes & Noble at Wiregrass Mall, which is just north of Tampa in the Wesley Chapel
uh-huh.
area. And I did the show live from the coffee shop inside of the Barnes & Noble bookstore. And
cool.
I think my first guest was Sherry Foytlin, actually, was my first guest on the show. So, yeah, the end of December is the 3rd-year anniversary. So if you want to see all these archives, all the women that we've had on the show ever since, you know, for the whole 3 years, we've had some people that have returned back with us. Gwen, you've been on a number of times. I can't even count, maybe 4 or 5, maybe
uh-huh.
even 6. I don't know. But we've covered topics, all kinds of topics, political situations. We have such a heavy news news stories are just flowing out, and there's so much rhetoric, and there's so much, it's just false things that we're hearing, or it's just rhetoric, which is stuff that isn't even true that hasn't even happened yet. And it's just kind of mind-boggling, and it's hard to keep up with it all. And Gwen, what do you think are the biggest stories, especially here in Florida, that have not been covered properly?
Oh, geez, where do you begin?
Yeah, where do you begin?
I know. One of your favorites is the Sable Trail transmission pipeline, and it's that's a puppy that goes all the way from Albany down into Alabama, then to Florida's, it terminates in Osceola County here. I tell you, in the state of Florida, I think the biggest news right now is seeing, and because Lake Worth is like a little hotbed of activism. We've got the a lot of environmental groups based down here and stuff. And you go down Lake and Lucerne, and it's old Florida, you know, those two streets are the main streets. And people are walking around with their heads down, you know, like 4 more years.
Four more years.
I should laugh, but, you know.
Done so little
before.
For Florida, really. Dare I say the words mind fuck? I mean, I hate to say those words over the air, but, you know, I'm thinking that the elections really did not, this time around, really did not give
well,
us.
Well, and here's the, it came very close, very, very, I'm surprised there wasn't a recount on it, because that's how close Chris came to it. That was interesting. And the other thing is that it was only 2 points away for Amendment 2. You know?
Right. And way above it if we didn't have the supermajority that was required, which we have to before we can actually here in Florida get a ballot initiative.
60%.
Put on
yeah.
it be above 60%, not above 50%, as most people would think. Above 50% would be the majority. But the supermajority, they make it even harder, which means it's over 60. And we got between 57% and 58% on medical marijuana this time around.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. Also, it's funny to think about it, too, because But when you sit and you look at all the gerrymandering that's been done by the Republican Party in this state, and it's pretty whack, but you can take a look at it and say, well, that's how it's going across the country and in the national scene, too. Do you still read The New Yorker, Anita?
I read that from time to time, depending on the articles that are in there. You know, I try to hit up a number of different articles from there whenever the magazine comes out.
Well, they
I'm usually getting it in a very limited way. I'm looking at it online too. You know.
Me too. Yeah, and they have a very interesting piece up. It's the title of it is a nation of 300 million. Understands president can only come from two families is the title of it, and it's a piece written by Andy Borowitz, who's put some good pieces out before. I remember the name, but just one quote from it. The United States of America, a nation with a population of approximately 300 million people, totally accepts that the next president of the United States can only be selected from two families. In interviews conducted across the country, Americans acknowledge that while the United States boasts many exceptional people in the fields of technology, business, public policy, and government, none will be offered to voters as candidates because they do not come from one of two families deemed eligible. And you know which two families we're talking about, right?
No, go ahead and tell us.
Well, it's presupposed that these are going to be the candidates running. For the red side, it'll be, oh God, Jeb Bush.
Right.
And we know all about him down here, y'all. And
right,
then,
we sure do.
On the blue side, it'll be Hillary Warhawk Clinton.
And I don't call her a warhawk. I call her a war whore. She's definitely that.
Well, she's corporate anchored. And she's an excellent stateswoman. There's no doubt about that. She knows how to go in and get what she wants. She flew around for 4 years, bringing the president's conversations to leadership all over this world. And she also did a lot for women's organizations and political movements across the globe. She really did. She walked in and gave people stature and put the cameras and focused the message that the group might have been saying. She did a lot of that. But on the back burner, what she was setting up was this TTP policy, this treaty, which makes
right.
corporations gods of the planet.
Really? Yeah, the TPP is a huge, huge thing. And for anybody listening out there, we have done, some shows on it, and I have had experts on that have talked about the TPP. But if you don't know anything about this agreement, the TPP will make NAFTA. It's NAFTA on steroids, and that's how it's been. So I would say find out what you can about the big deal about the TPP is that these are agreements that, for the most part, are being conducted in secret. So if you want details, you're not going to get them. And that in itself is extremely alarming. So,
what we do know is pretty awful. We do know that it gives corporations the rights to the environment in many places. And they write the message. The language is written so that it's meant to enhance the quality of life for the people around it, but basically it's just doublespeak for a corporation profiteering, as usual. And it's a very sad, sad thing. Because people are so willing to believe what they're being told over the mainstream media, and then they're willing to elect people who are already, we're hearing talk of shutting the government down over the immigration bill. You know, it's like, where do these men, and it's not all men, but a majority on the red side who's willing to do this are men, and they feel that if they can make a strong enough point and scare enough people by withholding government from them, it'll swerve them over to their side of the fence. Well, here's been running a pretty hot and heavy winter for the last few years, hasn't it?
It sure has. So you think that's been pretty much an underreported story, the TPP in itself, just by itself. We kind of know the whole about the elections, because there's been rumblings of those two candidates going on for some months now. Nothing's guaranteed, and nobody's made a formal statement. The Jeb Bush crew has not made a formal statement, as is the Hillary Clinton has not come out and said she'd run. So everything's kind of a big if, but we're pretty sure those are going to be our two main candidates.
Go ahead.
Is there anything else that you feel has been underreported, especially specific to Florida?
Well, I will say this. We've got the Sable pipeline we're freaking out about, but there's a bigger one going across the country that threatens major water tables, and that's the XL pipeline. And I've been predicting that Obama is going to approve of it when they send it up to him in his bid to, you know, make bipartisanship his, you know, first action with the new House and Senate. But, I mean, you know, here's somebody who's a Wall Street boy anyway. He's a corporate toady. If anything's true, that's got to be. We've seen it over and over again. Yet he's in China this weekend.
Right.
Saying, and I watched him say it on the news on BBC, he said, here's the idea of the XL pipeline. He said, well, now here's something that makes no sense for my country at all. It's Canada shipping dangerous crude through a pipeline all the way across the country down into Texas or Louisiana, where it's chugged into a bunch of ships that'll bring it across into the east for sale, with really nothing except what he didn't say what the, you know, he said with nothing for my, you know, nothing for America. It's not of any use to America. What he didn't say is that, you know, we stand to lose water tables, you know, fresh water resources because of it, but. And we will. But I thought it was really strange that he said that, and I thought, what, he's getting a hitch in his girdle here the last 2 years? He's going to try and swing his leg around? What's going on?
Right. Happened to look at the tar sands blockade.org, because they have a really interesting page. It's on the main website, but it's Why Oppose the KXL, and it has the main talking points. There's 10 main talking points on the page. Very interesting. I'll give a brief rundown. One is climate change. A fuse to the largest carbon bomb on the planet is what Dr. James Hansen has called this. Number two, spills. All pipelines spill. According to the TransCanada, the Keystone One pipeline was predicted to spill once every 7 years. It spilled 12 times in its first year, and it has spilled more than 30 times over its lifetime. Eminent domain abuse, we know that, and we know that's happening with the Sable Trail pipeline, as when these pipelines come through, the local governments just take people's land and give it over to the corporations that are putting the pipeline.
Like Julia Trigg Crawford has already lost it to the XL
pipeline. This is eminent domain was made law, I think it was 10 years ago, and people were really up at arms about it then, but didn't really know how those laws would be used. And now we see why that was, why those were made laws. We know now that was their intent. That was the powers that be, that was their intent. They knew these pipelines were coming through to increase our gross national product. And at the end of all of these pipelines are going to be ports that are going to take this natural gas to other places. It's not going to lower our gas at the pump.
This is to provide
jobs, and it's going to foreign markets. So that, anyway, eminent domain abuse is number three. Number four is water contamination, as we all know. Number five, the jobs myth. Keystone XL will destroy more jobs than it creates. Gas prices, of course, I just said that. Gas prices, this will drive up gas prices, not lower them. And we here in America will have higher prices at the pump instead. The tar sands are for export. That's number seven. I mentioned that. The pipeline violates tribal sovereignty, which the lands that were given to the tribes. They were given by, U.S. law, sovereignty over their own lands. Thinking about the Native American communities, First Nation communities. We're rescinding those laws to get these pipelines going through. Nine is undisclosed tar sands dilutants. Just as we talked about dilutants, or we talked about dispersants in the Gulf oil spill, the dilutants are pretty much the same thing. They're chemicals that are part of the extraction process.
They're very dangerous.
And because of proprietary regulations, the corporations close the contents of these poisonous and sometimes irradiated chemicals. So we are at the end of this experiment. We are the guinea pigs at the end of this experiment. I had to repeat that because I need to emphasize that we do not know what will happen when we are exposed to some of these things. What's going to happen to our water, our soil, and our own bodies. And farmers, this especially affects farmers who are raising cattle or growing our food. We have no idea how this is going to affect us. Number 10 is fraudulent environmental review. The environmental impact. Go ahead.
It's all of the information that's been disseminated through the government has been handed over from XL Pipeline lobbyists. That's an old trick, and it's one that the EPA was meant to stopgap, but has not been. And as a foundation to the rest of the reasons, it's a pretty good place to rest. Because it's saying we don't really know what's going to happen, except that certain companies are going to make loads of money, and the environment and the health of communities are at risk. But as always, it's very secondary. Just get on out there and yell a little bit of Love Canal.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
The same old story.
It's our history, you know, people that know the history like you and I, but the younger people that are coming up into this world that are going to be making the decisions shortly don't know the history that we have, you know. So this is why we have to increase awareness about what's already happened and what is continuing to happen on a much larger scale. The environmental impact statement done of the Keystone XL pipeline was conducted by the State Department, not the EPA, and controversy erupted last fall over the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's ties to one of the TransCanada's top lobbyists, Paul Elliott. Elliott was one of Clinton's top campaign officials during her 2008 presidential bid. So to me, that just sounds like a real vested interest and a conflict.
No. Yeah.
The Gulf Coast Project, or southern portion of the Keystone XL, does not have its own environmental review. That many issues unique to Texas and Oklahoma, such as wildfires and drought conditions, have yet to be analyzed. So there's a lot that we don't know. This is on the page. If you go to tarsandsblockade.org, to the Us page. And when you go to the About Us page, there's a drop-down menu, and it'll say, why oppose KXL? That's what I've been looking at there.
Yeah.
Then you can to from wherever you're at.
It's
a
good
site. The Sable Trail Pipeline is going to be a pipeline that is going to go through Alabama, parts of Georgia, and it is going to come into Florida and primarily go through the central part of Florida, close to Orlando. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to have another company that's going to be bringing it up and taking another portion of the pipeline to a port city. I'm not really sure if it's been revealed yet where that port city is. I think there's a lot of ideas. And also, a lot of people think Crystal River will be one of those port cities. So there'll be like an addition to the pipeline that'll actually take most of it through Citrus County and towards the West Coast. But there's definitely going to be an East Coast part of that, too. The best website with the most comprehensive information is run by a guy named John Quarterman. He's really done expansive research and really put together this website that where you can get all the information. It's called spectrabusters.org. And the latest article that's been put up is titled, Find That Sable Trail Has Not Met Its Burden to Show That the Pipeline Is Needed, Winifred Dukes. So this, they have to produce the agreements that allegedly justify need.
Pipeline Keystone hasn't done that, but next week, legislation to force approval of the Keystone XL pipeline is in the House. In the Senate, it may come down to a handful of Democrats who are now being courted aggressively by advocates on both sides of the debate. Senator Mary Landrieu, who is actually fighting for her seat, had 59 confirmed yes votes for the legislation, which she co-authored with Republican Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota. It still leaves Landrieu only one vote shy of 60 needed to pass the measure, but the New Orleans Times-Picayune reported Friday that the senator said she believes she could get to 60. And I had no idea she was... The bill is scheduled for debate Tuesday. And the House passed a parallel measure on Friday by a vote of 500, In 52-161, the measure was supported by Representative Bill Cassidy, Republican of Louisiana, and he's the one who's the upcoming Senate runoff with Landrieu down there. The Keystone bill that the Senate favors has now cleared the approval path in the House, and this will make it easier for the Senate to do right by the American people and finally vote on building the pipeline, do right by the American people. You know,
God,
do right by the American people. They don't do any. In almost 8 years, they haven't done a thing for the American people in D.C. You know, nothing.
Right.
It's a deadlock, and I cannot believe that you got Democrats. Well, they're all owned, right? That's the
they're
name
all owned.
Of the game just, here.
And I've been saying this for a long, long time, but I really don't believe at this time that there's a difference or a divide between the two major parties. I think they're one party called the Money Party, and then there's the rest of us. And what's really revealing is the numbers where of all registered voters, 42% are independent or third party, 31% are Democrat, and 25% are Republican. So when you add it all together, the majority of people really are third party or independent voters. And you know, it's the majority of registered voters is what I'm saying. So
yeah.
You know, we need to, you know, you would never know that if you listen to the corporate media, because the corporate media would say that, you know, there's just the Republican and the Democrat, and there is no other. And you don't hear about any other. You don't even hear about any other candidates most of the time. Here in Florida, we had a Libertarian that was running. We had two or three other people that were running for governor, actually.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and you didn't hear them, and they were not allowed in the...
They were not allowed in the debates, but I, you know, I'm a Facebook friend with one, and the other two, I did a lot of research on the folks running for governor, and my best bet was Crist. He is an outspoken, even as a Republican, he was an outspoken against the XL pipeline, and he is also for banning offshore drilling. He has been, he was as a Republican too.
Well, that's good. And we do have a lot of Republicans that were against and still are against offshore drilling. So that I think is our saving grace, the fact that we've had even the Republicans, some of the Republicans standing up against big oil and saying, you know, I think the big issue is, do we want it at all, or is this a NIMBY situation? And for those of you that don't know what NIMBY is not in my backyard. So, you know, the thing is, you need to find out what the real intent is. Is this something that we don't want in our backyard or a NIMBY situation, or is it, are these candidates or representatives of ours totally honest and sincere when they say we do not want offshore oil drilling ever at all on our coastline? So, you know, we have to ask those.
Yeah, you do. I agree with you. I got to ask you, since you're up in that territory, what is your opinion of Alan Grayson?
I like Alan Grayson a lot. I like that he's very much challenging a lot of the rhetoric that goes on, especially on the floor of the House. But this isn't a battle between Republican and Democrat. And he has me when he's talking about the issues. he has me just like Dennis Kucinich had me. You know, when they're talking about the issues, when they're talking about bringing the troops home, when they're talking about peace, when they're talking about, you know, health care for all, and they go into all these issues, and they're spot on these issues, but then they blame it on the Republicans. You can't keep blaming it on the Republicans. Everybody's taken from the same pot of money, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you
know,
yeah.
The divide. Stop with the divide and say, okay, the system is flawed, and we are all wrong, and we're all taking the money, right? And, you know.
Yeah, I agree
and,
with that, yeah.
Hey, you can't say this time that the elections were, you know, more Republicans got their seats this time because the Democrats did something wrong. And then I hear the Democrats saying, we should have just tried harder. We could have done better. And I think, what the hell are you, a bunch of codependent people? Is this a codependent organization, the Democratic Party? Come on.
And
you know,
all,
the system is flawed.
All they did was say that, you know, we're better than the Republicans and thought they could get away with getting. And then that candidate, who was, she's obviously a good candidate, but she made a very bad strategical error when she did not embrace her support of Obama when everybody knew she had, when she didn't do it in the campaign in Kentucky against Mitch McConnell, the Democrat there. I mean, they make such stupid mistakes. And
now
it,
the other
it,
thing that
they,
I wanted to bring up about these elections is this election cost $3.7 billion. $3.7 billion. It was the highest, I mean, this was the highest, most expensive midterm election ever. Ever.
Yeah.
And all these
yeah.
Republicans, you know, took over the seats, right? But yet they're
uh-huh.
busy telling us where, you know, they're telling us that they're fiscal conservatives, that they want to take the money out of politics, that they
yeah.
want to cut all these programs and cut all these, the unneeded pork and all of this. Bullshit. That's what I say to that. If we're spending $3.7 billion, regardless of whether it's Republican or Democrat, I think that money was everybody, what everybody spent, you know, $3.7 billion. You know, that's just more rhetoric. It's just more like, you know, don't come and tell me later that you want to cut this program and that program in my county or my town or my state, when you're willing to spend $3.7 billion to win to win these elections, but then you're going to sit up there and work for the corporations and not for the people.
Well, and
so,
that's pretty damn evident when you consider on one of the first days back to work, you know, they've gone ahead and for the ninth time, the House is passing this measure to push an approval of the Keystone XL pipeline, which is just a massacre for the environment. And they all
right.
know it. And I have a feeling
now,
that Bobby Kennedy will be chaining himself to the front gate of the White House again.
So we've got
you know?
We've got 2 years, and, you know, people are going to be gearing up for the elections coming up. So, I don't know. You know, I'm not hopeful for 2016. I'm not hopeful that we're going to get what we want. And I don't like, I shun the term of progressive, or I just don't like that progressive / liberal label, because that can
Why?
Mean so many different to so many people.
It's been misused and abused, and it doesn't mean what it used to.
Right.
Is that
But this time around, I really think that people, you know, if people don't realize that this is a flawed system by now, then I don't know when they're going to get it, you know. And I'm not sure how much, you know, I love the idea that I can go and vote. You know, I think it's a horrible thing that women had to die so we could have the right to vote. But I don't think voting, I don't think voting is working. I don't think it's helping we the people at all. Not with the current state of affairs, not with the current system, because the system is so flawed and so broken.
Well,
I don't
and
think
also, if you haven't, you know, it's hard not to notice that all of the women in leadership, quote, leadership positions, are very chummy, like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and the rest of them are very chummy with the corporations, like the other side of the aisle, as they say, just like that. And there's so much going on that is just, it's astounding that these women are able to walk with their heads up in D.C. when there's so much that's going on against women these days, just to strip us of rights and good health and freedoms that we've enjoyed. And, you know, we haven't broken through that glass ceiling yet, but in equal measure in many places, it's just receding. I mean, and there's the public, too. For years and years, there's been stories out there about Bill Cosby. And
oh, yeah, that's
women,
been a big story this week, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, for years I've heard stories. I didn't know whether to give credence to them because, you know, it would pop up and then it would fade away because he was paying them off, apparently. But now there's 13 women that have got a class action suit against him for rape.
Wow.
And, yeah, that's pretty notable.
Yeah,
13 women getting together like that. And, of course, there's still folks that are going to say, oh, they just want his money. But the truth is that he's being canceled from television shows now. And they still got him on the roster for an NBC show next year, in January. But I wonder if it'll stay there long, you know?
Right.
This is one of those shockers. It's like, who was it, Fatty Arbuckle or somebody in the 20s? Everybody thought was such a great guy who was raping girls, underage girls, in his home.
Right, right.
So
that's unbelievable, And I think that when the powers that be want to topple someone from power, they can use that story, and I'm sure it's been used, even though it hasn't been true. So our issue is, what we should be asking is, do we think this is true? But when you look at the facts that 13 women are doing a class action suit, and they all have the same or similar stories, then it probably is true.
Right.
So,
right. Well,
I know the story's been used to actually people down and destroy their credibility.
I don't know for a fact how it seems like 13 women would not pull this kind of class action without probable cause. I don't know firsthand whether or not the man is guilty of that, but I do know firsthand from people in the business that he's not a pleasant person to work with. If you're not of star status, pays you no respect, and that just is, that's not very nice.
Well, in my experiences with Hollywood, I've found that that's very true. After my experiences over the past couple of years of dealing with, one person in particular, when it comes to money or respect, I didn't get any from her. So I'm sure that doesn't happen with everybody, but it's pretty common.
No, it doesn't happen with everybody. And it's been my experience that it's uncommon. The ones that who are not very nice stand out. And then people who you think might be mean bastards are really nice guys, like Alec Baldwin. Everybody thinks he's a mean bastard, but he's really a nice guy. That I
yeah.
know. Well, that was my experience.
And I think he's been misunderstood and probably misquoted a lot, too, you know.
Yeah, well, he's not afraid to stand up and say what he thinks either, you know.
And I've been watching Russell Brand, who I've been quite enjoying his take on things.
Oh,
I've
always loved him. Yeah, he's pretty. He's got a wonderful stream of consciousness.
Yeah, he's become a voice for the voiceless over in England. He's really trying to help some of these women that have had problems with their, I guess it would be the equivalent of our Section 8s, but I don't know, I forget what they call it over there, but they've had problems living in their housing developments, and he stepped up to the plate for them and helped them fight that and made sure that a lot of these women that were, you know, on the verge of being homeless and basically kicked out, you know, he stuck up for them and worked with them. So that was commendable. He seems to have a really good respect for women, even though he is portrayed a lot in the media as not being that way. I see him being quite the feminist male, which is refreshing to see.
He's very human, and he's very spiritual. That's what I really love about him, is that he brings spirit right into it. You know, he says, you know, hey, listen, and a lot of people will look at it as morality. I think it's spirituality, and it's us finding our humanity again. And Russell Brand is one of those people saying, hey, man, how can you live this way? How can you live with yourself when you're making these kinds of choices consciously? And,
right.
You know, there's nothing in the world wrong, Anita, with having money and making
no.
money. If you're doing it under your own integrity, that's fine. And most people who do are pretty altruistic, you know? Then again, there's a lot of people who make it the rough way that become very altruistic, too. So, no, that's no standard for it, I suppose. But the point is that, you know, even in socialist societies, people have bank accounts, you know?
Right.
It isn't all. What's wrong with capitalism and its failure is obvious now, and people should not hold the purse strings over whole fucking countries and economies, and that's what's going on here, and this is why we're spiraling into a collision with extinction, you know.
What, give me your take on, since you're over there, I've been watching, and you know, really the whole world has been watching this story that's coming out of Fort Lauderdale about the homeless and the 90-year-old man, Mr. Abbott, being arrested for homeless.
Arnold? He's been around since God was a puppy. I used to go to the art shows and stuff, and he would be around then feeding homeless people because it was over at the air show strip, the air museum or whatever. A lot of people slept in that park and stuff, and he'd set up. This was 20 years ago. Man, we were sitting in at Smoker Park down in Lauderdale on the New River to try and keep it from being bulldozed by the Zanga. And we had several indigenous groups, you know, showing that was a canopy of live oaks in the shape of a thunderbird, and it had been a Native American site, probably to Cuesta Indians. And couldn't get any help from the Seminole and Miccosukee because they were in bed with the Zanga with the gambling and stuff. And we were all at it. He fed people at the park. This was 20 years ago. You know, this was 90, not quite, but, you know, 97, whatever. And 95, so yeah, coming up 20 years. Wow, that's a lot. And the man was always a sweetheart. I can remember him. He was outstanding because he was telling people what to do and saying, do you have enough? I just a kind person. And then seeing this come up, you know, great person to ask would be Brian Stetton, because he's probably seen a lot of them, you know.
Well, hanging. I've been in touch with the people that are actually on the street, Nathan Pym and his wife Jillian, who work
uh-huh.
with Food Not Bombs. But Jillian has begun a hunger strike, and she says she's going to continue the hunger strike until the law, you know, the current law to not feed the homeless is either not enforced or it's rescinded. Find a recap of what's going on at homelesshatelaws.blogspot.com. So this is Nathan's blog where he's keeping a running storyline through his blog posts on that blog. So again, homelesshatelaws.blogspot.com. Today is Jillian Pym's 14th day of her hunger
wow.
strike. And it's an international day
that.
Of fasting. So today was the International Day of Fasting, where people were asked to join with her for one day. But she's on her 14th day today. And many people are coming in from all over the state and indeed probably from other places to join them in solidarity. There's one guy who's actually, he's from a group called Planting Peace. He was sharing pizzas in front of the City Hall Tuesday and was ticketed for it. I believe he's been back since then. So I've been watching the blog. One of the things that Haley Becker of Food Not Bombs stated was that the Fort Lauderdale Police Department systematically targets homeless people downtown for displacement. The board immediately ended public comment and voted unanimously in support of the resolution. There were not public comments made, and the meeting, when they actually put the resolution in place, was in the middle of the night. They had two meetings, actually. So
well,
the public,
you know, sweetie, Broward County is the second most corrupt county in the whole country. I forget which one is ahead of it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was New York, Manhattan County, or over there where Atlantic City is.
Now, here on this latest post, Jimmy Dunson, a friend of mine, actually, he and I worked on Tampa Indie Media together. He's a longtime Food Not Bombs volunteer. He had been arrested, I think it was 2005 or 2006, for illegally sharing food with the homeless in Tampa and Orlando and now Fort Lauderdale. And he said it was a bit unique. All were free when they were arrested. They were free by 11 p.m. without posting bail. So this would have been, I believe this was Thursday. Might have been Thursday. So this is being covered. This is being covered by local news. This is being covered by state news organizations. It's being covered internationally now. People are starting to find out about this story, and they're following it. So we didn't even have to touch on Ferguson tonight, which that's a whole other show. This was just items that
I know
really...
Our hour is up, man. We're already
hours,
at the top of the hour.
It's amazing. There's so much news that we could probably go for another 3 hours. But we did cover a lot of the Florida stories, and we'll have to do this again because there's just so much. And like I said, anybody who wants to know more about the homeless thing, go to homelesshatelaws.blogspot.com And send your well wishes to Jillian, who's on the 14th day of her hunger strike. So
I'll keep that in mind on Sunday and bring that up.
Yeah, and you can get all the latest information from that blog. All you have to do is go to that blog and just review it. And then get together with Nathan online, send him messages. He'll send you messages back and tell you what's going on. So he's been keeping me informed whenever I have a question. But anyway, we'll go ahead and close the show. And I want to thank all our listeners out there. And, you know, to find us and find out what we're doing next week, just check us out on Facebook. We have a group, Wise Women Media. We have a Facebook page, Wise Women Media. Website, wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. And, Gwen, tell us about your show on Sunday. What's happening Saturday and Sunday for the next shows on Hairy Monsters?
Saturday, the consciousness shift is not going to be on until the first week of December. And but Sunday will be our last show through the Thanksgiving holiday for the Sunday show at 6 p.m. It's Political Roundtable.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll tune in. Now, that starts at 7, right?
6.
6 o'clock,
that's
yeah.
A,
that's
6 p.m.
problematic, but I'll be able to listen to the archive later, so... Anybody who's listening in, if you haven't heard the whole show, you can always listen to the whole show through the archived, the same link that you got to get to the, you know, player. Just click it again and it'll start the show from the beginning. Hit us up on our website. Check us out on the GoFundMe link. This is independent media. We do not take corporate sponsors. And, Gwen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show with me tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And we'll have to do it again when we've got more time and we can fit more stories, and we fit quite a bit in tonight. But there was just so much I couldn't really title it with anything specific. It's just a huge it's a huge time for news and current events, and trying to keep up with it is making my head spin. But you know, we need our spirituality too. And that's why I'm going to close with a little bit of Shimshay, Mother of My Soul. And Gwen,
nice.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Anita.
And listen to this, everyone. We'll see you next week.
You have given me all that I need to help me see. Jai Jagadambe Jai Jai Ma.